Well, good morning, everyone. It's very good to see you and to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus to worship together. I'll open with Psalm 23. I'll read the whole thing because it's so good. And then I'll pray and then we'll sing together. So this is Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that for weary souls, you are a good shepherd. You restore our souls. We thank you, Lord, that when we are tired and hungry in this world, you lead us beside still waters and green pastures, even by the hand of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself leads us to live in your house forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that your sheepdogs are goodness and mercy, and they will herd us and follow us all the days of our lives. We thank you, Father, for being so good to us in this way. We pray that you'd make us very familiar with your love this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Turn with me then in your Bibles to Ezekiel and chapter 34 for our first reading. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I'm going to read it to you anyway. So Ezekiel chapter 34. In verses 1 to 10, the Lord is giving a very hard time indeed to false shepherds who don't look after his people as they ought. And he promises from verse 11, where we'll take up our reading, that he himself will come. God himself will be the shepherd for his people, and he promises to send them a shepherd as well, one he calls David. Now, King David is already gone by the time Ezekiel is preaching. What the Lord is promising here is to send Jesus to be the shepherd for his people, and you see how much he cares for us as we go through this passage. So Ezekiel 34 from verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them for judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Amen. May God bless his word to us and teach us to look to Jesus Christ, the Lord's shepherd, for our souls. Now turn to John's Gospel and chapter 17 for our second reading. Here we have what has become known as the high priestly prayer, where the Lord Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane anticipating his own suffering and death, and he speaks with his Father. Here we have the prayer of Christ to his Father, a secret conversation, as it were, between the Father and the Son, and they're speaking, among other things, about us. So let's listen to this wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17. Notice how the love of the Father and the Son flows from them even to the world and to us. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all are mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. May God help us to understand how much he has loved us. So if you turn with me then to John's Gospel in chapter 10. We're carrying on our little series as we go through John's Gospel. And we come to chapter 10, and we're looking here at verses 1 to 21 this morning. I'll read it to you in a moment. But what can we talk about when we come to John chapter 10? We could talk about false shepherds and false sheep. Because John 10 comes hot on the heels of these words in John 9. See the closing verses there where Jesus exposes false shepherds. If you were blind, you would have no sin, but you say we see and therefore your sin remains. Or we could talk about the false sheep, which are exposed then in verse 26 of chapter 10. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep. So John 10 is framed around that, isn't it? There's false sheep and there's false shepherds around. However, it would be a crying shame, wouldn't it, to miss the wood for the trees. Because after all, what is it that makes a false shepherd false? Well, they're not true. They're not the good shepherd. We can talk about bad shepherds to follow all morning, if you'd like. We can talk about money, family, holidays, work, whatever you like. Good things don't make good shepherds, see? And all of these things, oh, everything that isn't Jesus will eventually lead us astray and ultimately let us down. But these verses that we have here this morning, John 10, 1 to 21, they lift up Jesus as the good shepherd. They compel us to follow him. Let's look at Jesus this morning, shall we? That's good, isn't it? He is the focus of the chapter. Think, how did the crowd hear what he says here? I'll read it to you now. When he says sheep, they thought of Psalm 100 that we sang earlier. We are the sheep of his pasture. They think, we are the sheep. We are God's people. When they hear the word shepherd, what do they think? They think Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. They think Psalm 80. Hear, O shepherd of the sheep. They even think, from Zechariah 13, Christ, he is the shepherd. Let's listen to, then to the words of Jesus. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Most assuredly, hang on, I've got to record this. Forgive me. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" What we're going to do here is I'm going to have a few little nice little things to say about it, and then we'll come up to the real meat of it, what I really want to get to, okay? The first thing to see is that Jesus has come to lead us into life, okay? Jesus has come to lead us into life. Jesus uses this illustration of a sheepfold in verses 1 to 6. And the sheepfold, the baddies, if you like, the baddies in the story, they climb over the wall of the sheepfold to get in. Or they break and enter. And to what end? What do they want to do when they get in? Did you see that? They want to do harm to the sheep. They want to catch them. In contrast, the Lord Jesus comes. And how does he come in? He doesn't go over the wall. Goes in through the door. And what does he come into the sheep to do? Not to harm them, but to do them good. To take them in and out and give them food and drink. This is a picture of how the Lord Jesus deals with people today, how he deals with us. And he comes across, doesn't he, as an honest and a true man with good intentions for us. He comes to you to do you good. If in the middle of the night you heard a noise downstairs, and you went down, and you found someone hobbling through your window, I think they're probably not up to much good. But if it was the middle of the day, and someone walks in through your front door, they're usually a welcome visitor, are they not? Of all those who would lead us and show us the way to live, how to thrive, Jesus is the only one who comes in through the door, deals with us straight, and is there to do us good. We can trust him to do us good. And what's more, he has every right to come in through the door, as it were, to come to us. Because after all, he says this, if you see these verses, he says, this is his fold, he says, and these are his sheep, he says. We are the sheep of his pasture, Psalm 100. So when Jesus comes to us, as he does, he comes straight, he comes true, he comes to do us good, and he says, "Oi, you lot." No, he doesn't. See there in verse 3? He calls his sheep by name. Every single one. He knows us all. He calls you by name. Christians are those people who hear the Lord Jesus calling them by their name. Now, the corporate element of the Christian life is being stressed very much these days, and I'm glad for it. I think it's a good thing. But we mustn't forget this, that Jesus calls his people by name. When he comes to you, he's dealing with you, with you. And you may very well have had that experience yourself, whether it's in church on Sunday, or you're reading the scriptures, or while you're doing the dishes. The Lord is having dealings with you, that Jesus has come straight and true to do you good, and he's talking to you. He says, follow me. Follow me. So Jesus comes to lead us into life. Jesus has come to lead us into life. In verses 1 to 5, it says that he's come to lead us into food for our souls, this food and drink, pasture to sheep. Christians are those people who hear Jesus speaking to them, and they follow him into his way, his truth, and his life. He says in verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. Did you know that Maes y Cwm has shepherds in it? And there are fields around here where they keep sheep. You can walk your kids up in the fields and they absolutely love to see them, those sheep. And do you see how they look after them, those shepherds? They get quad bikes, and they get tractors, and they get dogs, and they push the sheep from behind and get them to go where they want them to go, which is usually the abattoir. But sheep following Jesus have a very different experience. Sheep following Jesus find that Jesus comes to them straight and true through the door, and he comes to do them good, and he calls them by name, and he bids them to follow him, and he leads from the front. Do you see that in verse 4? He goes before them. He goes on ahead of them. He's in front, and the sheep follow him. If there is food for us, he's the one who will find it and give it to us. If there is a threat, he is the one who will meet it first and deal with it. We're probably going to hear a lot from Psalm 23 this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He's going to lead me from the front and take me to where the food and the water is. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He leads from the front. My old pastor in Cardiff used to tell this great story. If you go mountaineering, he said, sometimes you come to a scary place on the mountain where you're walking, and it looks like it's impassable. It looks like it's dangerous. If I go up there, I'm going to die. There's no way forwards. And then you see footprints. And you know, there is a way through. Or even better, you have a guide with you. And he says, this is the way. For Christians who follow Jesus, listen to this. This is wonderful good news. There is no way that life can go where Jesus has not gone ahead of you already and made the way safe. He doesn't take us anywhere where he hasn't already gone. There is no life experience, there's nothing that can happen to us that has not already happened to Jesus. There's no place in our life where we can go that he hasn't turned into holy ground for us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If you're sad, so has he been. If you're experiencing loss and bereavement, so has he. If you're happy, he's been there. If you're aging, he knows what that's like. Let's say you're feeling forsaken by God and far from him. He knows what that's like. If you've been betrayed, you're feeling weak. You're feeling strong. How do I handle this like a faithful Christian? This strength that the Lord has given me. The Lord knows what that's like. You feel zealous. You feel flat. You feel that it's all pointless and all your work and effort has been for nothing. He knows what this is like. He leads from the front, my friends. It's good news, isn't it? And he always has, even in the Old Testament. We're in Numbers at the minute, aren't we, in the evenings? You know, in the book of Exodus, it says that there's this pillar of cloud and fire, and it never departed from the front. He led them from the front. And he says, doesn't he, to Joshua, even when they come into the promised land, he says, I'm going to go over here. You follow me, because you haven't been this way before. You follow me. It's great news. Now, verses 7 to 12 is where we start to talk about Jesus has come and he leads us. He leads from the front. He shows us the way because he's been there before. And he leads us into life. Now, verses 7 to 12, this might be a different sermon. But even if it is, Jesus is continuing the same themes. He comes to us, he comes to us straight and true, and he comes to lead us into life. He's come to do us good. And if we will walk in his way, in his truth, in his life, we find that his way is the only way to live. It's the only safe way to live. See how he says it there in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10 is particularly attractive, isn't it? I have come that they may have life and life to the full. To realize the necessity of following Jesus in our lives, just think for a moment of what it's like to be a sheep without a shepherd. You're lost. You're cold. You're prey. You'll be dead soon. You'll be on someone's plate. A good shepherd makes for lively and healthy sheep, you see. And Jesus has come to lead us into his abundant life. Many people fear following Jesus. They worry about it. They think, oh, maybe he's going to take my life away and make it really boring. Have you ever felt like that yourself? Maybe you do. Well, I've got news for you. He certainly will take your life away. He'll be gone. And he will give you his own life. And you will realize that whatever you were doing before, it can't properly be called living. When you know the life of Jesus that he has to give you, this abundant life that he talks about, that he has come to give us, you realize that what you were doing before, it was lost. It was unsure. No certainty. Who do I follow? Where do I go? What is the truth? And all your soul was famished for the mere want of Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. And this is the constant experience of all who come to him. They find in him to be their all in all. Remember the woman at the well? She was thirsty in her mouth and thirsty in her soul. And Jesus says, I have come to give living water. Living water. So there's Jesus comes to us to lead us into his life. You know, he's been like this from the very beginning. From the very beginning of absolutely everything. Jesus always comes into the dark to find us where we are, lost, cold, afraid, and hungry. And he comes to us straight, he comes to us true, he comes to do us good, and he leads us into his life. From the front, as our man, he leads us where he wants us to go. He has blazed a trail through our life. We're going to talk a lot about this when it comes to Christmas. That he has come into our flesh, into human life, and he has lived our life. And he has said, this way to live, follow me. This way through death, there's a back door. This way through the grave, this way to heaven, this way to God. And we follow him through it all, assured that he has made the way safe. Even death and darkness has been lit up by his footsteps. Do you ever think about the end of your life? Does it keep you up at night? You worry about it. Have I got my affairs in order? How's that going to go? What's going to happen to me? That's a dark period of life. And we've never been there before. How do we get through? The Lord Jesus has been there before. And if we follow him, he shows us the way through that. How to do it. How to die. How to live again. There is no enemy, no sorrow, no life experience, no question, threat, or risk that he has not personally grappled with and overcome for us. Let's follow Jesus. He knows the way. Now, this is where I get to come to the fairy tale that I told the children about. You know the old fairy tale of the princess locked in the tower, tyrannized by some nasty creature like a dragon or something, and that's her whole life. She's like a sheep without a shepherd. And then Prince Charming appears. He comes to her. He comes to her true. He comes to her good, straight and honest. And he risks himself to slay the dragon. And he rescues her. And he brings her out of the castle into a new life. And they lived happily ever after. But what we asked the kids earlier was, what happens next? The princess is taken by the prince into a new kingdom, where she meets the king, and she realizes that what has happened to her was part of something so much bigger that she could never have even imagined. It was so much more to it than a lovey-dovey knight. There was a royal conspiracy of love for her. The prince didn't just come to her, he was sent by the king who himself loved her, that she might be brought back to live happily forever after with her Savior. A whole new life, a whole new world. When we come to John 10, verse 14, and the few verses following, we realize that the love with which Jesus has loved us is much bigger than we could have imagined. There's so much more to it, even than Jesus Christ coming to us to lead us into his new life. When we pull back the curtain of this beautiful story, we realize behind all those lovely scenes is a beautiful playwright. One who has written a beautiful story. And this love story starts not in John 10, but on page 1 of his script. Where is the beginning of this story? But the eternal love that is between the Father and the Son in the Blessed Trinity before all ages. This is the basis, and this is the beginning of the love that there is for between Jesus and his sheep. Look at verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This loving familiarity within the Trinity is the fountain of the loving familiarity that there is between Jesus Christ and his sheep. The source of the love and the goodwill towards us. Why Jesus comes straight and true to find us, call us by name and do us good. It starts there in the heart of God. And we realize that Jesus does not merely come to us. He has been sent by a loving Father. And he does so in the power of their Holy Spirit. For God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father, Jesus says, has loved his Son, and has loved his lost sheep, and so he has entrusted his sheep to his Son. If you look ahead at verses 27 to 30 of John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Son loves the Father and loves his lost sheep, and so he loves to obey the Father and to save his sheep. I love Jesus' incredulity at his own story in verse 13. The thought of the hireling seeing the wolf and running off. Jesus is offended at his own story. And he says, he doesn't even care about the sheep. Such is the Lord's love for us. The deep, deep love of Jesus is deeper, deeper than it first seems. And it is not arbitrary for us, but it is based on the holiest, the deepest, the most eternal and loving thing of all, the ever-loving intrafamiliarity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is bursting from the heart of God towards us through Jesus Christ. Let me give you some Bible verses here for this, because it's wonderful. John 3, verse 35, John the Baptist says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. John 5, verse 20, Jesus says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. John 14 and verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. And then he goes to the cross. And then, as we read earlier from John 17 and verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. It is from the immortal, bottomless well of the infinite love of God, who himself is love, that is where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is sent from to come to us and to call us by name and bid us to follow him. And that is where he leads us as well. He says, follow me, and he takes us back with him to the Father, to that infinite wellspring of love. John 17:23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and has given his Son. What a great comfort to us sheep on a Sunday morning that we are part of something very, very, very big indeed. That God, the living God, has loved us. Do you know that? Have you heard that? The living God, Almighty King over all things, has loved us. And he has sent his only Son to save us. Jesus is no agency shepherd, you know. He's no rogue. He's no replacement. He is the designated and trusted shepherd from God the Father for our souls. He sees us in our need and he says, I will send my Son to save them. God the Father has so loved lost sheep that he has sent his good shepherd to come in the power of the Holy Spirit to call them by name and lead them into his abundant life. This is the mission which the Father has given to his Son. John later remarked about this loving union of the Father and the Son and their plan to save us like this. He says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. To save his sheep, the Father sent his Son to lay down his life as a sacrifice. You see that in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In verse 15, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Everything that is against our souls, Jesus Christ takes upon himself. Because he leads from the front, any threat that comes our way, he takes it first. Everything against our souls, what's that? Well, first of all, Satan and his angels, the wolves of our souls. Jesus took them on, and he beat them for us as our good shepherd. And secondly, our own waywardness. We're stupid sheep, you see, and we get lost. And so Isaiah says about Jesus, the good shepherd, he says, we, like sheep, have all gone astray, and the Lord the Father has laid on his Son the iniquity of us all. He's put it on him. The Lord leads from the front through the valley of the shadow of death into the Father's presence. And it is in that valley that he himself took all the enemies of our souls for us. Now, how many answers do you know to this question? Why did Jesus lay down his life? There's lots of good answers to that. Well, here's one that Jesus says in verse 17. I lay down my life so that I might take it up again. What he's telling us here is that in the very act of laying down his life to save us from Satan and our own sins, he did that in order to rise for us. He lay down for us to get up for us. When he went to the cross for us, he had his eyes on the resurrection for us, to carry on living for us, to carry on leading us into his immortal life, to give us his resurrection life. As he says in verse 10, his abundant life. He's worth following, you know. Jesus promises to call his sheep in verse 16. He says, more sheep I have who are not of this fold, them I must call. Here Jesus is anticipating calling the nations of the world. Can you think of any nations that Jesus has called? O whales, he says. Hear the voice of your good shepherd, follow me. A great encouragement to those of us with friends and family who don't follow Jesus, that Jesus is still the Good Shepherd. He still comes straight through the door. He still calls people by their name. He still tells them to hear him and to follow. He is still slain for their sins. He still leads people into life. And he says, they will hear my voice. They will come. There will be one flock. There will be one shepherd. But it's a great encouragement too to those of us who don't have a shepherd today. You only have to look at a screen for 3 seconds, I think, and someone will say, follow me. You're on YouTube and you're scrolling. Someone says, remember, follow me. Or you're on Twitter and you're scrolling through and someone says, push that button and follow me. TikTok says, follow me. Popular kids in school, follow me, do it this way. And the world is constantly throwing these messages at us. Andrew Tate says, follow me. The fitness guru at the gyms, follow me, do it like this, live like this. The movie stars, you got to do it like this, follow me. Elon Musk, this is how to be a real good human being, follow me. Politicians, follow me and vote for me. Be one of my people. The religious leaders all over the world, follow me. This is the way to live. What do we do? There's all these shepherds around us saying that they'll take us, and they will take you, and they'll take you, and they'll take everything you've got, and they cannot lead you into the life that Jesus says he will give you. Jesus says, follow me, and I will give you life, abundant life. The Father has loved you, and so he has sent me, and I love you, and you should follow me so that I can love you and give you my life. I'll lay down my life for you. And one day Jesus will yet come again from the Father, full of the love of the Father, to call his sheep by name and to bid us to follow him one last time into new and everlasting life. You know, we need this all the time. You may have been a Christian for an awfully long time, longer than I've been alive maybe, and you need Jesus to be your shepherd today, to hear his voice today, call you by name today, to follow him today, and he'll give you life today. The shepherd comes from the Father to his sheep. Right, I'm finishing with this, okay, a question. What do the sheep do in John chapter 10? We've heard a lot about the good shepherd. What do the sheep do? Did you notice? It's not much. That's good news, isn't it? In verse 3, they hear Jesus. In verse 4, they follow Jesus. In verse 4, they know Jesus' voice. In verse 9, they go in and out by Jesus, and so they are saved. In verse 14, they know Jesus. In verse 16, they hear Jesus. If you take the Lord Jesus out of the equation, the sheep have nothing at all. They're prey, they're torn apart, they're stolen, they're misled, they're scattered and neglected, and that, my friends, is human life without Jesus Christ. We have nowhere to go, no reason to go anywhere, it all means nothing, no way is safe through life, we're always lost, we're never found, and in the end, everyone forgets about it and nobody cares. But not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we hear him and follow him and learn his voice and go in and out by him and trust him, he will lead us from the front all the way through our life, and he'll say even this way through death and this way out the other side to be with the Father forever. So please go home this afternoon dwelling on the overwhelming love of God for you. That the one who has made all things and upholds it all by his power, who puts up with all of our wickedness and all of our sin and all of our mistakes, with all of our stupidity and our slowness of heart, he has loved us. He has loved us. And he has sent his own Son, his good shepherd, to save us, even to the point of laying down his own life to carry away our sins and to defeat our enemies, that we might live a new life in him, so that we might have someone to follow through life and even through death. Won't you follow him too? There is no part of your life through which he will not lead you safely home. For his name's sake, amen. Amen. Let's pray quickly, okay? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great love with which you have loved us, and we pray that you would acquaint us with it, that we would be given the grace and the faith sufficient to truly know and believe that the God of heaven and earth has loved us and has shed his own blood to save us from our sins. We pray, Father, you teach us what sheep are to do. There's nothing for us to work for our own salvation, Lord. There's nothing that we could do. All there is for the sheep to do is to look to Jesus, to listen out for his voice, and to follow him. Help us, we pray, with this, for our good and for Jesus' glory's sake. Amen. Amen.